September, Year of God, 892. 1. Telisberg Palace, Telisberg, Kingdom of Caris. It was odd, the Earl of Pine Hollow thought, as he was escorted into the Telisberg Palace throne room once more. He hadn't believed he could feel more nervous than he had on the occasion of his first visit here. Unfortunately, I was wrong. He followed the pair of guardsmen, one in the black and gold of Caris and the other in the silver and blue of Chisholm, across the polished stone floor under the silently turning fans. It was much the same room as before, he noticed, aside from the minor fact that the raised dais was a bit larger and that it no longer supported only a single throne. No wonder he wanted time to think about his response. Despite his own internal tension, Pine Hollow found it hard not to smile as he looked at the attractive young woman sitting in the throne to Caleb's right. I can hardly believe the two of them managed to put this entire marriage together without anyone in Emerald catching so much as a sniff of it. Narman was right about Charlene all along, though, and he was right about something else, too. Caleb is dangerous enough by himself. The two of them together are going to turn Hector into kraken bait, and when that happens, I'd rather be in the boat with them than in the water with Hector. The Earl of Greyharbor stood between the two thrones, effectively at the shoulders of each of the two monarchs seated in them, and Archbishop Michael stood to the king's left. Aside from the First Counselor, the Archbishop, and their personal bodyguards, Caleb and Charlene were alone. That was interesting. The lack of additional counselors and witnesses argued, among other things, that the two of them intended to speak frankly. Whether that was a good thing or a bad thing for Emerald remained to be seen, of course. He stopped at the correct distance from the pair of thrones, bowed to both of the seated monarchs, then straightened and stood waiting respectfully. "Well, my lord," Caleb said after several thoughtful moments, "I did say we'd talk again, I believe." "Indeed you did, your majesty," Pine Hollow allowed himself a small smile. "At the time, however, you allowed me to assume that there would be only one monarch present when we did. As you see, our spymasters are better than yours." Caleb smiled back, and his tone was light, almost whimsical. His eyes, however, Pine Hollow noted, didn't smile. "In point of fact, your majesty, we'd already deduced that in light of certain other small surprises we've suffered of late. I believe it had something to do with what happened to our fleet, among other peoples," he allowed his eyes to flit briefly sideways to Charlene, "in the recent unpleasantness." "An interesting choice of words," Caleb observed. He, too, glanced at the queen seated beside him. Then he looked back at Pine Hollow. "It was indeed unpleasant, my lord, and in the event rather more unpleasant for some than for others. If we were inclined to spend our time rehashing all of our mutual reasons for enmity, we'd still be sitting here this time next year, however. So, bearing in mind the reason your prince sent you here, Queen Charlene and I propose to move forward rather than look back. Neither of us, however, is blind to the past, my lord. In fact, we remember everything that's past, and it would be wise of you and your prince to bear that in mind. And to remember what I said a moment ago. Our spymasters are very, very good." Pine Hollow inclined his head in silent acknowledgement of Caleb's point. It wasn't one he or Narman was ever likely to forget. "You may have noted, my lord, that I said Queen Charlene and I proposed to move forward. Allow me to be specific, just in case the contacts I'm certain you've been cultivating here in Telisberg have failed to provide you with the full specifics. When Her Majesty and I wed one another in a few days' time, we will lay the foundation for a new realm, the Empire of Caris. Queen Charlene will continue to rule Chisholm in her own right, and I will continue to rule Caris in my own right. But both of those kingdoms will become subordinate and included in the Empire of Caris. The crown of that empire will be held initially by me, but Queen Charlien will be my co-ruler, not simply my consort. She will become not simply my wife, not simply my senior counsellor, but my regent and my deputy. Any decision she reaches in my absence will be as valid as any decision I myself might have reached. And should I predecease her, the empire's crown and the crown of the old kingdom of Caris will pass first to her, and only after her death to our eldest child.